This is an audio archive edition of Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
Lowell Feld is our guest from his home in Arlington. He's the founder and editor of Raising Cain, and the subtitle is The Progressive Voice of Virginia or something like that?
Yeah, well, we have a subtitle, The Voice of Progressive Virginia. Last year, it was blogging Tim Kaine into the governor's mansion, and it was... When we first started in late December 2004, early January 2005, I mean, that seemed like kind of a lofty goal, but and I'm certainly not going to take credit for, you know, for electing Tim Kaine last year. I mean, that was credit all goes to Tim Kaine as far as I'm concerned, also secondarily probably Mark Warner and a lot of factors, plus Jerry Kilgore ran a horrible campaign, I would argue. But I do think the blogs played a role, though. In the campaign last year. I mean, we were not officially connected in any way. Raising Cain, we were totally independent. We didn't really even communicate particularly with the Cain campaign. But we were out there and we were staying on top. Every time the Republicans, the Kilgore campaign, said something negative about Cain or any of the Democratic candidates, really, we were right on top of it. Really, any time they said anything at all, we were right on top of it, and we were investigating to see if it was true. Looking into where their donations were coming from, just doing a lot of digging to see, you know, figure out what was going on, talking to people, and just really focusing on Virginia politics.
Lowell Feld, our guest. Lowell, if we could back up for a moment and just start at the very beginning, which is how did your site start, and did you start blogging as Raising Cain, as somebody, or did you have a blog before that, and where was the motivation for starting Raising Cain?
Let's
tell people the website first. What is it? RaisingCain.com?
RaisingCain.com, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The motivation basically was utter depression and anger, I would say. After the November 2004 re-election, as some would say, of George W. Bush, I was very frustrated, like a lot of people. I remember going on to Daily Coast, which is the largest national political blog, and it's a Democratic, you know, progressive blog. And people were practically, you know, getting the sharp razor blades out there. a lot of people were very upset, and I was one of them. But, you know, finally, it was around Christmas, and I was just thinking, you know, it's not like, this is not the way I want to be. I don't want to just sit around. I mean, this is bad. I don't like the situation. But, I mean, I'm not going to just lay on the floor and just, you know, stare up at the ceiling or whatever for the rest of my life. I want to do something about the situation. So, you know, I basically started talking to a good friend of mine named Eric, and we were thinking, what can we do here? And then we were like, you know, actually, right here in Virginia in 2005, there's a major, like, election, and, you know, coming up for governor and all, really, lieutenant governor and a lot of other seats. House of Delegates are coming up here, and we can do something right here. So let's do it. And pretty much we decided we're going to start a blog. We started very, very simple with a free service, blogger.com, or Blogspot, I think it's also known as. But anyway, it's a free blogging software. And then we just started, you know, started up in really late December 2004, early January. Had probably, like, you know, a few readers at the beginning, 5, 10, 20, started growing. And before long, you know, next thing you know, we have 1,200 visits a day, and it's still growing. And, you know, so that's how it just started, really, I would say, out of a feeling of frustration. I had been involved with politics to some extent previously. I was involved with the draft Wesley Clark movement, you know, for president. And that was another, you know, very interesting experience. And really, a lot of that was done over the Internet as well. But that was in even earlier days of the Internet. I mean, now it's, of course, growing by leaps and bounds. So,
Our guest is Lowell Feld of RaisingCain.com. Lowell, hang with me. We're going to take a quick break. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
Hi, I'm Larry Sabato, and I'm going barefoot.
You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot on News Radio 1070 WINA.
I love that Larry Sabato ad. Lowell, you like that?
Yeah, I was thinking about not Larry Sabato, who's, of course, one of the most well-known bloggers, you know, in Virginia.
Right, right. Hey, this is Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070, WINA, Coy Barefoot with you. Our guest is Lowell Feld of Raising Cain, the voice of progressive Virginia. Lowell, I do have to ask you, Sean O'Brien, the director of the Sorensen Institute, was in here last half hour talking about the new blogging summit that's coming up in June here in Charlottesville, a unique conference. There's only one of its kind in the entire nation. And he was talking about how campaign finance law actually covers bloggers. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a blog like yours where you're actively out there promoting a candidate, you have to file something or other, and not that you're part of the campaign, but you have to tell the government that you were putting this money towards promoting that candidate.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's different, if you just, there are different levels here. I mean, if you're just doing, if you're just writing your opinion and not spending any money, that's one thing. I mean, you don't have to do much at that point. Maybe a disclaimer at the bottom of the blog, that's about the most you're going to have to do. Probably not even that, unless you're spending, once you get up to, I forget the threshold in Virginia, but might be a couple hundred dollars per year, then you have to, then you're getting into a different territory. You definitely have to put a disclaimer at the minimum.
Right, now, right.
Raising Cain, we're a state PAC. We set ourselves up as a state PAC.
Oh, okay.
We didn't have to do that. We didn't, you know, that's not required to be a blogger. You don't have to be a PAC. But we decided we wanted to do that because we wanted to, especially last year, we wanted to be able to raise money so that we could buy newspaper ads and other things, which we did, to support Democratic candidates.
Well, let me ask you, because you were obviously one of the cogs in the machine and in the all the one of those people out there making it possible for Tim Kaine to be governor of Virginia. What do you think so far?
Well, of how Tim Kaine's doing?
Yeah.
I think, you know, right now we're in a stalemate situation on the number one item on the agenda. It's basically, you know, the Senate and Kaine against the House, pretty much. You know, the Senate and Kaine on one side and the House on the other side. I think Kaine's doing fine. I mean, I think he's doing really well. He's sticking to his guns right now. Now, how this is going to end up, who knows? I mean, there's talk about that there could be a government shutdown. And, you know, we know what happened when there was a government shutdown nationally back in the 1990s. When Clinton was president and the Republicans controlled Congress, and you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know if it's going to play out the same way. But in that case, Bill Clinton actually came out far more popular after the shutdown, or during and after the shutdown, than before. So hopefully, it won't come to that. But I think Kaine's, you know, he had a very difficult decision to make about 2 weeks ago on whether to allow an execution to proceed. And he had, that was a very, if you remember during the campaign, that was one of the most heated topics, led to the most infamous ad that was run during the campaign, which was the so-called Hitler ad, where, you know, the Kilgore campaign claimed that Tim Kaine wouldn't even execute Adolf Hitler because, you know, Tim Kaine's a religious Catholic and Catholic Church doesn't believe in capital punishment. Well, Kaine said that if he were elected governor, that he would be taking an oath on the Bible, swear an oath on the Bible to uphold the law, and that's what he just did. And I personally think he, you know, I have mixed feelings about the death penalty myself, but I think he made the right decision there. He kept a promise.
Lowell Feld, our guest of RaisingCain.com. Lowell, let me ask you this, because you mentioned that Hitler ad that the Kilgore campaign ran, and that ad came from the media strategist that Kilgore hired, Scott
right.
Howell.
Scott Howell, yeah.
And Scott Howell is now working for
George Allen.
And this guy,
know that, huh?
for people who don't know who Scott Howell is, right or left, he's one of the dirtiest guys in politics.
Yep.
This guy, if you see a negative, over-the-top, in-your-face, negative campaigning in America, chances are Scott Howell has something to do with it. This
right.
is the guy that convinced Georgia voters that Max Cleland, a Vietnam veteran, was somehow not patriotic, even
a
though he
amputee.
Left. Yeah, triple amputee from Vietnam. Scott Howell was it was his idea to make it look like Max Cleland was in love with Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, and Saddam Hussein. Yeah.
And Saddam Hussein.
Scott Howell also is known for running a racist ad, basically. It was condemned as racist by the NAACP and others in Oklahoma in 2004, known as the Black Hands ad, where it showed a pair of black hands reaching. I don't remember if it was for a welfare check or whatever, but it's something like that. You know, you get the picture.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't surprising to us that he ran that when he ran that Hitler ad. I mean, Waldo Jakewith actually was one of the earliest ones back, I think, in January 2005 or February, who warned about that and said, watch out. That, they hired this guy, you know where this is going.
Yeah, and I guess that leads to my next question. What will this say about the George Allen campaign? And number one, I'll answer my own question. I personally am incredibly disappointed in George Allen because I think he's a better man than this, that he would hire somebody as dirty as Scott Howell with a track record that Scott Howell has. It's basically saying, come here, I want all that bad stuff that you do, I want it, and I want it to be a part of who I am and my campaign. And I'm incredibly disappointed that George Allen would do something like this and bring that guy in. It's just a tremendous letdown. Because I think he's a better man than that. And yeah, I just would like to have seen him do a little better than hiring this dirty weasel. But
well, yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, if you really have something positive to run on, then maybe this is idealistic, but you shouldn't have to go so negative as raising Adolf Hitler in a Virginia gubernatorial race. I mean, it's just bizarre, actually, when you think about it. But maybe Jerry Kilgore didn't really have much positive to say. It didn't seem like it, I'll tell you, following that election last year. And maybe George Allen at this point is worried that he doesn't have much of a record to run on from his, last 6 years in the Senate. I also, you know, of course, I'm biased. I started DraftJamesWeb.com and the Draft James Webb movement, and, of course, I'm a huge Jim Webb fan. But I think, you know, Webb is going to win the primary June 13th.
We are speaking with Lowell Feld. If you have a question or a comment for Lowell, the number is 977-1070. 977-1070. Lowell, you were before the break, you happened to mention that you created the Draft Jim Webb campaign. Can you tell me about that and how you got involved? And Jim Webb, of course, is running against Harris Miller for the Democratic nomination. The primary election is June 13th, and anybody in Virginia can vote.
That's right.
To pick who will run against George Allen in November.
Mm-hmm. Well, so basically, when as the Kilgore campaign wound down, I mean, of course, a blogger's fancy turns to the next election, and I started thinking about 2006, and I was thinking, you know, who's going to run against George Allen? And, comes along James Webb in the San Diego Union Tribune with an interview where he says right at the end of the interview that he's thinking about running as a Democrat for U.S. Senate from Virginia. And I found out about that maybe a couple weeks after the interview, and I basically started emailing back and forth with Jim Webb, first just asking him for an interview with Raising Cain. But before long, this sort of evolved into, I really was impressed with the guy, and I started thinking, you know, we should try to, like, encourage this man to run for Senate. He'd be a great candidate. I think he could win in Virginia. And I think, you know, a number of other friends of mine who I was talking to felt the same way. So this sort of evolved, it kept building, and by the end of December, three of us, two Howard Dean supporters, actually, and I was a Wesley Clark supporter. So from different wings of the Democratic Party, we met with Webb, and we were extremely impressed with him politically, in terms of his stature and personality, and just about every way.
Let me ask you this, Lowell, because your site is the Progressive Virginia. Both Jim Webb and Harris Miller aren't the most progressive guys in Virginia, and I'm wondering why a liberal progressive such as yourself, who clearly understands politics, what is it about Jim Webb, who worked in the Reagan administration, that says to you, progressive Virginia or even Democrat?
Well, I mean, I actually do think that, first of all, a couple things. One thing is that we're progressives, but we also want to win. That's extremely important. When we see someone like George Allen, who basically I consider to be a far right wing Republican, working against everything that I believe in, I want to beat the guy. Another thing is, the more I talked to Jim Webb, the more I felt like this guy was very progressive. I mean, he's pro-choice. He is pro-gay rights. I mean, he's against the marriage amendment that's going to be on the Virginia ballot this year. He's pro-civil unions. He's really, he calls himself a Jacksonian Democrat. He's a populist. I would say a progressive populist. Going back to sort of a really old tradition in this country, he cares about the little guy, about the one with all the money and the one who can buy a seat at the table.
So he's the kind of Democrat that you think can win in Virginia?
Yeah, I think he's the kind of Democrat I think he can win in Virginia, and I think he's far more progressive, actually, than Harris Miller. Harris Miller is a very conservative Democrat. When, if you listen to his interview on WTOP over a month ago, I mean, he went right down the list. I mean, whether it was the death penalty, which he strongly supports, whether it was the Bush tax cuts, which he thought were a great idea, the invasion of Iraq, which he strongly supported. Webb strongly opposed the invasion of Iraq, starting back at least in December 2002 when he wrote out and spoke out against it.
So if Webb is the guy, we're talking with Lowell Feld of RaisingCain.com. What makes where is George Allen vulnerable? And what makes him not the right choice to be reelected to Senate representing
Virginia?
Well,
I think George Allen is, first of all, he's not that popular. I mean, his popularity, his approval ratings right now are hovering around 50%, which for an incumbent...
Or 56.
Well, the latest poll I saw had him around 51, 52. But, I mean, there are different polls coming out, so I don't know. But, you know, he's not. It's not like an overwhelming popularity. So I
it's
think
not 75, 78,
no,
82.
No, like that. I mean, like, John Warner is running about 15 points ahead of Allen. He's far more popular than... And Allen, I think that's because Allen is very right-wing. He votes with George W. Bush about 96% of the time, something like that. So pretty much, if you're a big fan of George W. Bush, then you probably love George Allen. Now, the problem is, for George Allen, not too many people at this point are huge fans of George W. Bush. The latest poll I just saw just came out, USA Today, CNN, Gallup poll, I believe, just came out, 31%.
Oh, 31%. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that's
and it keeps
low.
Falling, you know.
That's down there in a hole below the attic. I mean, yeah. below the basement.
Below the attic, yes. Yeah, below the attic.
It's definitely below the attic.
Not more than that.
I can't believe that. And of course, it's obvious. I mean, I know a whole bunch of conservatives who just aren't fans of his anymore, you know? And a lot of them still like the guy.
Right.
But they feel like he's been led astray by his advisors, or for whatever reason, they no longer are as gung-ho and supportive. And you're saying that maybe that's going to affect Allen in November.
Yeah, I don't think these are local races anymore. I think all of these races, I think you saw it last year with Kane and Kilgore, they become nationalized. The consultants and others that they bring in, like Scott Howell, whoever, they do it anyway. They're going to do it. But, you know, when you have someone like George Allen who is so directly tied and to George W. Bush and to this administration, to all the policies that he supports, 96% or whatever he votes with these people. You know, so, I mean, and the other thing, I think Americans are not happy with what's going on in Washington right now. They're not happy with this culture of corruption that they see. And, I mean, George Allen's part of it. The other thing is, what does he have to point to in his 6 years, you know, in the last 6 years in the Senate? Does he have a record of accomplishment? I would argue that he doesn't have much of one. I mean, unless you consider voting 96% of the time with George W. Bush to be a record of accomplishment. So, I mean, you know, I think Allen is vulnerable.
Our guest is Lowell Feld, the founder and editor of RaisingCain.com. Lowell, I noticed on your website you don't hold your cards too close when it comes to George Allen. you even refer to the man as a weasel. Why is George Allen a weasel?
Well, we have this weasel meter, and if you look at some of the things, well, for example, he hired Scott Howell. You were talking about this before, and you yourself said that you were very disappointed in
Yeah, very disappointed.
That he would go to that level right away. And, you know, another one would be, you know, Dick Wadhams, his spokesman, coming out and talking about that, you know, we look forward to facing the winner of the wealthy, liberal, self-funding primary. Now, I love that. Wealthy, liberal, self-funding primary.
I mean, referring to Harris Miller and Jim Webb as
wealthy
liberals.
I mean, he's
supposedly
not liberal. I mean, although I think he's more liberal than people think. More progressive, I would say. But, you know, self-funding, he's not doing that, I'll tell you that. So I don't know where they're getting this stuff from. They just say whatever. Seems like whatever they need to say.
There was a recent article in the New Republic magazine about
right.
George Allen's Confederate past. Let's just put it that way. Do you think that's going to hurt him in November, or by then is it sort of going to people just we don't care what he did in high school?
Yeah, that's hard to say. I mean, it wasn't just about his Confederate past, though. I would point out that article also quoted, and some people said that this was very much below the belt, although. It quoted from his own sister wrote a book about growing up in the Allen family, and basically talked about George Allen in very unflattering terms. I mean, as a bully, and she said he dragged her upstairs by the hair. Things like this. I mean, you know, and this was all in the New Republic article. And then there was the Confederate thing, which, you know, this is a guy who's not, he wasn't from the South, unless you consider Southern California to be the South. And that's where he grew up, in Southern California, you know.
But he was fond of the Confederate flag.
But he had this, I think the New Republic called it a Confederate fetish or something like that. Because, I mean, he's not from the South, and yet he's fascinated with the Confederate flag to the point that he's plastering it all over his high school, of the walls, and spray painting graffiti all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
So what's that all about?
What do you think Jim Webb has, if he gets the nomination, what do you think Jim Webb's strategy should be to beat George Allen in November?
Well, I mean, the main thing is when people get to know Jim Webb, they're going to be extremely impressed with him, just like thousands and thousands of Virginians already have been. Hopefully he'll be able to run, you know, I know campaigns often turn very negative, but hopefully he'll be able to run on his own vision for America, for Virginia, and which is, as I said before, I think a progressive populist vision, which is rooted in fairness for all Americans.
And what's Jim Webb's vulnerabilities? Where is he weak?
Well, I mean, Jim Webb, I think his vulnerability in a way is his strength. He's never been a politician before in his life. He's never run for office before. So this is sort of, he's running against a bunch of professionals with also money. I mean, Allen has at least $7 million right now cash on hand. He's probably going to end up with $15 to $20 million by the end of this thing. Jim Webb came in to this race fairly late, very late, actually. You know, I mean, talking about February 2006, he had not prepared for this beforehand. He's not a wealthy man. He's not poor, but he's not, you know, super wealthy either. He can't self-fund, even though Dick Wadham says he can. But the so they're going to be, almost certainly, we're going to be outspent. Maybe 2 or 3 to 1, even. Who knows?
Lowell Feld is our guest, the founder and editor of RaisingCane.com, the voice of progressive Virginia. Lowell, hang with us. When we get back, quick break. When we get back, let's talk about Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. This is Charlottesville right now.
You will get the opportunity to speak your mind about the issues that are affecting all of us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
With historian and best-selling author, Coy Barefoot.
Tomorrow, Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville Tomorrow. And author Leela Zangane. The author of My Sister Guard Your Veil, My Brother Guard Your Eyes, Uncensored Iranian Voices. We're going to talk about Iran tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour. And I'm going to ask Leela what she thinks of what the Bush administration has supposedly planned for invading Iran. Lowell Feld is our guest. Lowell is the editor and founder of RaisingCane.com. Lowell, what do you think about Iran?
About Iran?
Yeah.
I think that it's an extremely difficult situation. I mean, we really, it's almost a no-win situation. I mean, we either acquiesce in allowing Iran to develop potentially nuclear weapons with a president who's talked about wiping out Israel, and, you know, it's definitely been Iran and the United States have not had exactly good relations the last 25, 30 years.
Oh, this dude's definitely no friend of ours.
Right. Or we try to prevent them from acquiring nuclear weapons. But what are the options there? We've been trying diplomacy. We can move towards economic sanctions. They've then threatened to pull out of the nuclear nonproliferation regime and to even transfer some of their nuclear technology to countries like Sudan. It's a very difficult situation. The military option is on the table, of course, as the president always says and everybody always says.
The nuclear option is on the table.
They've even talked about that. I mean, you know, but I mean, it seems like it would be using military force would lead to disaster, probably, in the Middle East in general. And there's no guarantee it would prevent Iran from continuing on with its nuclear program. So it's just a really... It's a mess, and it shouldn't have gotten to this point. Unfortunately, we went after the country that started with an IRA, I guess, in the Middle East there, but the last letter was Q instead of N in the first place. We went after Iraq, which didn't have any weapons of mass destruction, wasn't building any weapons of mass destruction. And here right next door, Iran, which actually really was building weapons of mass destruction. We didn't do anything about that situation. We also let North Korea, by the way, develop, you know, nuclear weapons meanwhile. So two of the three members of what Bush called the Axis of Evil are now either armed with nuclear weapons or on their way.
Yeah. Bush, by the way, who said recently, I don't know if you read this, this is World War III. According to the President of the United States, we are now in World War III.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I could have sworn that some of these right wing you know, Republicans always like to talk about the Cold War as World War III, and I thought, so this should really be World War IV, I guess, but who's counting?
hey, about Hillary Clinton, with the time we have left, there was the op-ed in the Washington Post by, how do you pronounce this? Marcos?
Moulitsas.
Moulitsas. And his Daily Kos is his political blog,
right.
National political blog, probably the most well-known.
Oh, that's definitely the largest by far political blog, I think, in the world.
And he wrote an op-ed basically saying Hillary is the worst choice the Democrats could make.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's true. I would say, though, I would come at this from a different angle than Marcos. I would say that since 1960, the Democrats have won two times, really. I guess Lyndon Johnson in 1964, and then Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, and all of those three were from the South, and you know, really, I mean, none of them were liberals, were seen as liberals. Last two, Carter and Clinton, were governors, Southern governors. Like, let's see, who do we have in Virginia here who is a Southern governor who's maybe running for president? But you know, it's very difficult for the Democrats to win with a northeastern, or non-southern for that matter, and a senator, not a governor.
Senators don't do too well running for president.
Right, senators don't do too well, and for the Democrats, non-southerners have not done. The two who have won since John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson was from Texas, Jimmy Carter was from Georgia, of course, and Bill Clinton from Arkansas, so that's pretty much 3 for 3 right there on the South.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, just you know, in 15 seconds, Mark Warner's chances for getting the nomination for president.
Oh, it's hard to say, really. I mean, maybe 3 or 4.
Ooh, that low, really?
Well, I mean, he's great. I love Mark Warner, but it's just going to be really hard. Hillary has $20 million.
And she's got all that party machinery locked up in her pocket.
Yeah, it's just gonna be tough. I wish him well, and I probably will end up, you know, supporting him. I mean, you know, I'm very happy to see him holding a fundraiser for Jim Webb this Thursday night right here in Arlington.
Lowell Feld is our guest. Lowell, thank you so much for joining us, and we will talk to you again.
Okay, great. Thank you.
His site is raisingcain.com. Appreciate him spending some time with us, and we have enjoyed having you here as well. Everybody have a great night. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.